Greetings. I'm DJ Mo Wilkes. We're inside Studio 889. My familiarity with graphic illustration, comics, if you will, is pretty limited. I'm going to tell you things like, or say things like Popeye, Bugs Bunny, Mighty Mouse, Tom and Jerry, Mickey, etc. There's a whole big world out there. DC, Marvel, universes, plural, are out there, commonplace in theaters. Black Panther, Black Lightning, Luke Cage, just to name a few. But I want to welcome to Studio 889, Kagan Lewis, founder of Comics in Color, which happens April 25th, April 26th over at Roxbury Community College. Kagan Lewis, how are you doing today, man?
Great, man. Thanks for having me, Mo.
Oh, well, thank you very much for, I know you have an amazingly busy schedule, so thank you for giving me a couple minutes.
Sure.
So, first of all, do you prefer the title graphic illustrator or comics or something else?
I usually go with cartoonist.
Cartoonist?
Yes.
Okay, very cool. Is there a particular reason why?
Well, what I do is more like comic strips, so it's more of a cartoonist thing. When you get into like comic books, you can use cartoonist, comic creator, illustrator. There's a number of different ways.
Yeah,
I don't think there's an industry standard on that one.
Oh, I didn't know that, because I wasn't sure like how people actually refer to themselves. I don't know if it's evolved, what the history of that kind of is, but thank you for clarifying that for the audience. So for those who are not familiar with you, can you share your artist illustrator background?
Sure. I've been doing comics for a very long time, but really got seriously into it in about 2005. Started my series called Lunchtime Comics, which I started doing exactly that, making comics on my lunch break at work, which, you know, started out as just kind of a quick little, I'll just see if I can make a few comics, and turned into something much larger. I was eventually published in the Boston Dig when that was still being published.
I remember that, yeah.
And so now I'm doing I'm concentrating on a new comic strip called The Market, which is a little bit more of a millennial simplified thing that I have put into the Boston Compass and I'm now publishing online. I'm also doing the political illustrations in the Bay State Banner now weekly, which is an exciting challenge.
Yes, I'm sure. Yeah, during these days, I'm sure you probably got no loss of content to be able to
I'm having fun with it.
That's cool. And anything else about your background that people might not necessarily know?
I've done a number of different things. I also did screen printing and illustration that I would sell and vend around, best known for my racially ambiguous shirt, which I would sell at a bunch of different places.
Yeah,
I've dabbled in a couple of different things, but comics have really become my main thing these days.
Now, usually it's a kind of a if you can see it, you can be it kind of thing. I know that was my kind of inspiration for getting into media and radio specifically. Who was Kagan's inspiring creative, or what event set it off for you?
Well, I started out with just like newspaper comic strips. That's kind of where it all started from, like Garfield.
Oh, wow.
Was a big influence. The Peanuts. That was really what kind of brought me into the world. And then I discovered comic books and G.I. Joe and X-Men. Claremont's X-Men and Larry Hama's G.I. Joe.
Wow.
Where my mother got me, I loved them so much, my mother got me a subscription so I'd get them in the mail. And that was really, and from there, I just been eating comics voraciously.
I have the similar kind of thing. Peanuts, definitely. What was Mamaduke?
Mm-hmm.
More recently, kind of like the Boondocks,
yes.
Aaron Magruder things and
yeah,
stuff like
Boondocks
that.
Yeah, the Boondocks was absolutely a huge influence. Just to see that a young black man could make a comic strip and say the things that he said back then was very exciting. And then it turned into a show.
A series,
and, like,
yeah.
It was like, he took it to a level that I didn't even imagine that it could get to.
That is true, because like a lot of times I'd look at the content and I'm like thinking to myself, how do you say that? How do you do that and give that kind of sarcasm, you know, and how do you get it across and people not necessarily, he is very talented. I don't necessarily want to say anything in the past tense. So chopping it up with Kagan Lewis, founder of Comics in Color this weekend at RCC. The event you're putting on is the Comics in Color. What was the inspiration for just creating this in the first place?
Well, my partner, Barrington Edwards, and I...
I know Barrington, big up. Yes.
Yeah, he's the man. We just kind of met each other and connected over a love of comics, and then one year we decided to travel to Harlem to the Schomburg Library to go to the Black Comic Book Festival.
Oh.
And that was just it's just a paradigm shift for both of us, where we had been, you know, loving comics for a while and going to cons and having the experience of being like the only one or two people of color there, and then to walk into this room and just see hundreds of people of color loving comics and making comics and sci-fi and anime, and it just felt so right. Mm-hmm. I was like, so on the way home, we were taking the bus home, and we just like, Boston needs a space like this. So it took us a couple of years. That was in 2016 that we were in New York. And it took us a couple of years. And we did like little meetups. We were doing like drawing nights and just kind of artist get-togethers. Mm-hmm. But we felt like it wanted to grow it. And then in 2018, when Black Panther premiered, that was just felt like the moment for Black comics. And we were like, this is our moment. So we just, you know, started very small with just a couple of people and a bunch of comics on a table at the Grove Hall Library. And 15 people came or so, and then it just grew and grew and grew, and now we're in the fifth year of doing a fully fledged festival.
So this, like, before, it was kind of like BC, before comics in Boston.
Yes.
There was this, like, you know, kind of like small scene, but in, like, now post then, you've, like, in the last 5 years, you've seen it kind of grow.
Oh, yeah. And I love discovering new people. And there's a lot of people out there, young people of color, making comics. And, I mean, I feel like our role is to just kind of, like, bring everyone together.
Oh. What was the reason for your choice? Was there a particular reason of choice for using Roxbury Community College?
Oh, absolutely. Roxbury Community College is just the perfect place to do it. The location, mm-hmm. it's very accessible. Sure. It's right on the train. Sure. It's right in the neighborhood.
Sure.
And, you know, Roxbury Community College also has this amazing history, right? That it's, you know, kind of the result of the civil rights movement in Boston, where they blocked 95 coming through the city.
Yes.
And they had raised, you know, urban renewal raised that whole area.
For a highway.
Right, for a highway. Playing. And they moved out all these families. And then, you know, as a result, then the highway wasn't coming. And Roxbury Community College was kind of put there as kind of a result of that. And so I think it's got a great history that I also love to be a part of.
Oh, I love that. I love hearing that. That's pretty cool. Kagan Luce, Comics in Color, happening this weekend, April 25th, 26th, over at Roxbury Community College. Now, it's a two-day event. Are both days identical? Can an attendee receive a different experience each day?
Yes, I'm so glad you asked that, because today, this year, on our fifth year, we're trying to bring it to 2 days, but not... You know, planning 2 days of a festival is twice as much work. So sure. We wanted to kind of step into 2 days softly. So instead of doing a full 2 days, we're doing the Friday night, we're doing an opening panel where we're having Joel Christian Gill and our special guests, including Carrie Randolph, Barbara Brandon Croft, Buttercup, Greg Burnham. We'll be talking about the state of comics in the world. And then, so on the main stage at RCC, it's a big, like, kind of auditorium thing. So we're doing and that's free and open to the public. You can register for tickets on comicsandcolor.org.
That's fine. Big it up, man. Big it up.
And then the next day is the full festival day, where we'll be going 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. in the Reggie, and there'll be workshops and panels, a cosplay contest, musical performances, comedy. We really put it on this year. And that's also free, and you can register at comicsandcolor.org.
Okay. I mean, you said so many names. I'm not necessarily familiar with each one of them. I mean, are there one or two names you can kind of share with the audience as to who they are in the comic realm?
Sure, absolutely.
Are they all Bostonians, too?
Well, no.
Okay,
We bring people in from all over the country, but Carrie Randolph is a Bostonian. He was born and raised in Roxbury. He has gone up into the echelons of comics. He's worked with all the major names. He's now living in Vienna, Austria, so we're flying him in from there because we are so excited to have him as a, you know, homegrown Boston guy who's, like, done the thing. So we're very excited to have him. Barbara Brandon Croft is the first Black woman nationally syndicated cartoonist, which is crazy to say, but she's the first one. There are, like, maybe three in the world.
What's the name of her comic?
Where I'm Coming From.
Where I'm Coming From. Okay, yes. Okay.
Yep. And she's amazing. Greg Burnham is he's kind of an indie darling. He wrote the book Tuskegee Airs with Marcus Williams as the artist, which has been is like a crazy success in the independent world. He also done Search for Sadaka, and he's since done the Milestone Initiative, and is now has wrote some stories for DC for Icon and Superman. Oh, wow. So he's doing big things. Buttercup is an up and coming trans cartoonist who's put this their first book out called and it's just an amazing story, beautiful artwork, beautiful story. So yeah, those are a couple of people that we'll have.
Thank you for sharing that.
There's more.
There's more.
Check the website,
which is
comicsandcolor.org.
There you go. So describe the event's outpouring of support over the years, if you can.
Well, it's pretty amazing. So our first year was supposed to be in 2020, April 4th, 2020. Obviously, it didn't happen because of COVID. But we were able to do it in 2021. But the first year, we did it all through community support. I made a GoFundMe, and people just donated for it, and we got, you know, and through a few, you know, individual donors and this GoFundMe, we were able to do the first Comics in Color in 2021. The community has always been a huge support, and I was kind of surprised by how supported, you know, I know this is something I love, and I was just like, I want to share this with everybody, but the outpouring of support that I've gotten back has been really amazing, and it's continued this entire time, and people, you know, we've got amazing community partners, you know, Mass Art and Roxbury International Film Festival, you know, have been with us since the beginning, doing programming and stuff, so I've been got amazing support. It's been mind-blowing.
Good, and hope that definitely continues.
Because yes, thank you to everyone.
No problem. Have you witnessed, you know, the festival's impact on younger illustrators of color? If so, how?
Yeah, I love to see the young people, and there's been quite a few of them who, when we were doing the monthly meetups, you know, we were doing workshops and stuff, and we had lots of young people come in and write comics, even some older people come in and write comics, but the story that I most often tell when I'm asked this question is of Niall Hennick. He is a young man from Milton who came to the first Comics in Color in 2021. It was his first comic convention ever. Oh, wow. And he was just coming as an attendee. He came with his dad, and he brought a little black and white comic that he had photocopied and was like kind of giving out to people. He was so like 9 years old, and he was so cute. Mm-hmm. He was giving out all these comics. And then, you know, the next year he was tabling at Comics in Color. And has since, you know, he has his work at the Children's Museum. He's published a bunch of new books. He's been at conventions all over the area, and he'll be back at Comics in Color this year. He's a little older now, obviously. It's been a couple of years, but his work has advanced amazingly, and it's been just a beautiful thing to watch him grow.
And you plan to help to plant the seed that he could see other people that are connected into his community. Hey, I can do this.
Yeah, just giving him a space to grow and show and people
express
what he can do. Yeah.
Wow, that is so cool. Well, big up to that young person and other young people that you will hopefully inspire. Now, comics or illustrations or graphic comics have kind of, for me, it started also, you know, also obviously in places like, you know, the comic strips, but then it was kind of like in the 80s for me, you know, the Keith Herons, Basquiat's, they were doing social slash, you know, comics. They were using like a comic type of icon, but it was also to convey a message. I was just seeing something on, I believe, public television about the graphic person who created Mouse, if I pronounced that correct. Can graphic illustrators have societal impact or just laughs and escape?
I think it can be both. Okay. I think that, you know, a lot of people just think of comics and cartoons as laughs and escape. Mm. But like you said, Mouse, Robert Spiegel.
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah. Robert Spiegelman. That's hugely impactful. And I think there's definitely space for, you know, hugely impactful stories told in comic form. I think comics are very accessible, like you said, like street artist Keith Haring, and then we're using, you know, comic kind of iconography in their street art.
Yeah.
And I think because it's very accessible, I think that people feel connected to it because it's been a part of our lives, and maybe, you know, and just in a comic strip and you kind of read it, or it's been, you know, something that you love and you collect, you know, but we all kind of connect to visual storytelling.
So they're all part of the same kind of bigger family.
I think so.
Okay,
yeah.
Very cool. All right. Has the, you know, Marvel Universe, DC Universe affected the interest in local area artists getting into the comics field?
Well, I think that, you know, Marvel and DC are great, and they've definitely, you know, opened up the world of comics to everyone. I mean, just like getting into them, mm-hmm. right? But I, you know, the movies have definitely impacted, you know, people's interest in comics. But the comics that I'm most interested are like the indie comics, you know. Mm. There's so many great kind of underground and indie comics that are coming out that are telling diverse and interesting stories. I mean, Marvel is wonderful, and yeah. I grew up on Marvel, and I love Marvel. And, you know, DC's great, too, mm-hmm. and they're doing great things. But what really interests me is, you know, people telling their stories. And the great thing about comics is that there is no gatekeeper. I mean, of course, you can't get to the level of Marvel and DC without Marvel and DC, but you can get your comics out to people. Anybody can. They can tell their stories. They can, and you don't have to have be a great artist or okay. you know, a great writer. You just have to have an idea and a pencil and a paper and a willingness to tell your story. You know what I mean?
So whether it's like, you know, pencil, paper, or like now a lot of these new platforms, a lot of these new applications, does it help? You know, connect people faster.
Yeah, yeah. I wish when I was a kid
that you had those kind of tools. Right?
And yeah. I'm thinking of that to my son because he's very into making comics and animation, oh. and he can do it all on his iPad. Like he can create amazing things on his iPad oh, wow. and get it out into the world. You know what I mean? It's just amazing. And you know, there's no barrier now except for the one in your mind to getting your work out there in front of people.
Oh, thank you, Kagan Luce, founder of Comics in Color. April 25th, 26th, RCC. Recently, the graphic illustration world locally lost a giant in Robert Stull. He was recently part of an event, Aerosol, which celebrated local graffiti artists. Did you attend? What were your thoughts, and were you familiar with his work?
I did attend. It was an amazing show. Rob is an amazing... The show was amazing, and it like gave a history of Boston graffiti that was beautiful mm-hmm. For those of us who are in the world. Yeah. But Rob, it was so devastating to lose
Likewise,
him.
Yeah.
He was a friend of mine. He's been a part of the festival every year. I mean, he's a Boston legend. Like, this guy, he was the most amazing inker, and he was so generous.
For those who don't know necessarily what an inker is.
Oh, I'm sorry. So when you make comics, there's a penciler, an inker, a letterer, a colorer, a flat colorer, right? So there's colorists. So there's many different roles in the creation of comics. And he was most well known for inking. And he just, he's such a beautiful inker. And I, like, even before I knew him, I knew his work. Mm. And I was a fanboy out. Every time I see him, I'm like, oh my God. But he was also just a really nice guy and really generous in his talent. Mm-hmm. And he, you know, mentored young people and would give advice. And, you know, whenever I asked him to come do something, he was there.
That's cool.
He was just a really nice guy and just an amazing talent. And it's a huge loss for the Boston comics community, and we're going to do some kind of tribute to him. You know, we're still kind of reeling a little bit. It's very recent.
Very recent. I know you. And you just going right into you.
Yeah, but we're going to do something for him at the festival because we have to, because he's an important part of our community.
Thank you for saying that. You mentioned a few young people that are emerging illustrators on the rise. Some audiences may know. You mentioned that one young person that actually, you know, started out just giving out their things. Are there maybe like middle tier illustrators who the audience should be more acquainted with in the Boston area?
Yes, there are many great illustrators and comic creators in Boston who are doing amazing work. I can talk specifically about Brittany Bourne, who did the artwork for Comics in Color this year. She created this just amazing, playful image of children kind of in cosplay, playing with books, and it's beautiful. And she's a great illustrator from Boston. And there's a ton more. If you come out to Comics in Color on April 26th at the Reggie Lewis Center, there will be about 60 different artists from all around. You know, some of them will be from Boston. We have folks from New York and Chicago, and so they're traveling in from around. But we rep Boston hard.
Good, and I'm sure that there are, like, you know, I mean, I know there have been studies that show that graphic comics actually assist young people in the, you know, the learning process.
Oh yes, they're an amazing tool for learning, and you know, I think people are starting to really discover that now, and you know, schools are putting comics into the curriculum and whatnot. But if I can tell one little story about
go for it.
About how comics are amazing at learning. We did a small, with the Boston Book Festival, we did a small kind of like a micro con several years ago, just kind of like testing the waters for what a con would be like. But we did a presentation, and we, you know, we're talking, you know, we did a little presentation of all the artists, and we were people were in the audience were asking questions. And this one older gentleman who was 90 years old told us a story about how when he was 8 years old, using Little Orphan Annie comics to teach former slaves how to read. And they loved the, you know, the visual storytelling of Orphan Annie comics, and they connected with the action and adventure of the comics.
Oh my gosh, wow.
So that's just I don't know, I just love that story about, you know, how comics are so universal and they can be used in so many ways. And even, you know, 80 years ago, people were using comics as a tool to help with literacy.
Wow. On and offline, where, I mean, you told us you've been sharing online. Are there places where offline people can, you know, our 88.9 listeners can find out more about you, or more find out about Warcom, Comics in Color?
Well, obviously, comicsincolor.org has lots of information about Comics in Color.
Yep.
You can check out my comic strips at lunchtimecomics.com.
Okay.
Also, 950design.com. You can see some of the other kind of products I make, which are like T-shirts and illustrations and poster prints and stuff like that.
Mm. Oh, well, I'm looking forward to this year. Looking forward to the fifth celebration of Comics in Color, Reggie Lewis, April 25th, 26th. Thank you, Kagan, just for just giving us a couple minutes.
Thank you.
Touching down and inspiring storytellers of tomorrow. Thank you just for spending some time and sharing your work with our audience. And that kind of just wraps it up, right? From Studio 889, DJ Mo Wilkes. You'll definitely be seeing me there. And for Studio 889, I'm DJ Mo Wilkes. I'm out. Peace. Thanks, Boston.